speaker today is Grant, as you know. We're so glad to have him back with us, and we're just going to turn the pulpit over to him.
Well, here I am. Since the last time you saw me, I'm a little heavier, like about 30 pounds heavier. And one thing I've noticed in this last couple of years, well, you know, men usually like to take showers. I took showers for years. Well, one day I decided to take a bath sitting down in the bathtub, and it's been a long time. Oh, it was nice, but then came time to get out. Oh, I can't do that. I floundered in there like a turtle on his back till I finally got out of that. Oh, well, folks, it's just because I've been by myself for a year and a half because Gene and Marcus went to help out our daughter in Colorado and then found out, Gene went to the doctor and found out that she had a serious heart condition and she needed to stay in Colorado because stress was doing this to her. And so she needs to stay there for, I don't know how much longer, maybe months, maybe a couple years, I don't know. Marcus is now 13 and he's in grade 8. And he is still an honor student, happy to say. Remember when we first brought him here in 2010, I was saying to Gabriella, the little guy just fit right under her shoulder, used to sit with her once in a while, and she loved it, and he loved it. But he is now 13 and in grade 8, and we're saving up to help him get a car in a couple of years. That's his project. His original project was, I want to be a Christian, a gentleman, and a scholar. Well, he's a Christian because he gave his heart to the Lord and was baptized. He's a scholar. There's no doubt about that because he's an honor student all the way. We're working on the gentleman stuff. You know. But he's a work in progress. You know he always has been. His mouth is doing very well. You know he was born with cleft palate and a hair lip and was left on the doorstep by the police station in Dalian, China, just 10 days after he was born. He was abandoned, left in an orphanage, and through a lot of wonderful circumstances that had a lot to do with some people that are not here today, we ended up getting him in 2010. But that's not what I'm talking about. I just wanted you to, here I am, I'm back, and I have a special message for y'all, especially for some of you that don't know me and may not have heard me preach this. But I think that at the center of our faith, the whole reason that we exist, the whole reason we are here, is because of Jesus and the Ten Commandments. You see, we are identified in the book of Revelation, and God's people are identified, His remnant church is identified by being the ones who keep the commandments of God and have the spirit of prophecy. That is the end time people. That's what they look like. And it's the particular mission of the Seventh-day Adventist church to be a thorn in the side of the Sunday churchgoers. I'm sorry, that's our mission. Our very title says Seventh-day Adventist, because 6 days ye shall labor, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it ye shall do no work. Now, you know, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I got here and tell you some things about the Ten Commandments you may never have heard before. And I want you to have an open mind because this is great stuff, and you don't want to miss it. Father, we are thankful for the way you've led us all these years, from a very young man of 18 through various churches and various situations and various things that have just turned us inside out, upside down, and right side up again. Father, we just pray you'll help us be an inspiration somehow here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4, this is the key to the commandments. And listen to it, because if you understand anything, you know this whole system, this whole Jesus thing is centered on the love of God for us and our love for him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Well, how many do that so far? Anybody loving him with all their heart, all their soul, and all their might? How's that working out for you? Sounds pretty simple when you say it, but it's a lot harder to do, isn't it? All right. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I think these commandments are important, folks. I think the Ten Commandments have an importance that has been lost over the centuries. And I'm looking at our society today, and I'm looking at America, and I'm looking at the Republicans, and I'm looking at the Democrats, and there's no love of God in their hearts. This country has forsaken God. And it starts with the Ten Commandments. When you don't have any value for human life, thou shalt not kill or do murder, and hundreds of thousands of babies are murdered in the womb. When you have a commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and it's totally forgotten. I heard a pastor talking on the radio this morning about how people are forsaking the church of God, and they're treating Sunday like Saturday. You know, he really believed that Sunday was the sacred day of the Lord, and that Saturday was maybe a day that you took off, or you did things, or you worked, or you went about your daily business. And I thought to myself, you poor soul. Because this is the most glorious, marvelous thing that we have, the Sabbath worship. It's wonderful. It's the day I look forward to all week. I can hardly wait for the Sabbath to get here. Oh, I work at the Amazon in Colombia. I'm a security. And, you know, I made a deal with them before I went to work. I said, if you will make sure that I get the Sabbaths off, I will work night and day anytime you call me. And they took me up on it. And I've been working night and day. And sometimes 16 hours a day. But you know what? They're keeping their end of the bargain. I don't work the Sabbath. Now, if it was a disaster or an emergency, you know that we are compelled to help out in those kind of times and needs. My job has to do with health, security, and such things like that, people's well-being, almost like my other profession, which is CNA, helping people in nursing homes and people in private in their homes with their medical problems. And, you know, I'm getting up there too. It's sort of nice to be able to be on the serving side rather than on the receiving side. And I thank God that even though I'm chubby, I'm in really good health. You pray for me, because I'm going to overcome this, and this is going to go back down, and then I can buy all brand new clothes. Anyway, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. It's a love-based thing that we've got here, folks. We don't do anything motivated by anything else but love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, do you love him? You see, loving him makes the commandments a joy to keep rather than a burden. And let me tell you something about the Ten Commandments that I learned within the last couple of years. Yes, they are commandments. He said, he's the boss. He made us. He can tell us what to do. You know, that's okay with me. Because a lot of people don't like anybody telling them what to do. They don't like rules, regulations, laws, police. They're shooting police. They're killing the people that are guarding our lives. You know? Today's last day, people, they are without natural affection. And fathers and sons and daughters and mothers and dads and wives and husbands and are all at each other's throats. The family is cracking up. And when you get rid of the family, society falls apart. The Ten Commandments are laughed at and being removed from courtrooms. They're being removed. And what are they being replaced with? Well, they're not being replaced. They're just being rejected, folks. But if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and Jesus said, your neighbor as yourself, then you will fulfill the whole law and the prophets. What does that mean? Does anybody ever get saved by keeping the Ten Commandments? If I keep the Ten Commandments and I use that as the basis of my being saved, I'm keeping them, will I be saved? Absolutely not. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So then, are we free from keeping the Ten Commandments? No. We are free to keep them because we love him with all our heart and all our soul. Here's what the commandments say we will do. Because you see, the commandments are more than just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It is a bunch of wills and won'ts, or shalls and shan'ts. Here's how they read. If you love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, here's the prophecy, and here's how you fulfill it. Then you shall. Here he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, in the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. I wouldn't even think of having another God. He loves me so much. How could I? And I love him so much. Where do I have room for another God? So that's one sign that we are believers, that we are saved. If you are saved, then the commandments are fulfilled in your life. You live them. They are engraved and scribed upon the fleshly tablets of our hearts. We don't want to offend or hurt anybody. So then, because we love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, it says, you shall not make for yourselves any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down and worship. Well, that makes sense. Why would I do that? I love him. He loves me. That would offend him so. That would hurt him so. I don't want to hurt him. I want to please him. So another sign that I am a Christian born again by grace through faith is that I will not have any other kind of graven image or anything like that, a car or property or something that I've been saving for years. And by that doesn't become the most central part of my life, for nothing comes between us and his love. I will not have a graven image. I will not have something like that. And here's another one. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Wow. You don't use this name lightly. That's not just saying cursing and swearing, but you don't take upon the name of Jesus and say you represent him and live a life of debauchery. taken his name in vain, living as I please, doing as I please, because I was saved way back there once upon a time. I can do anything I want, anything I please, and still be saved. I don't think so. Because I love him, I will not do those things. I will not take his name in vain. Taking his name is a big responsibility. When you get baptized, you take upon yourself to be a representative of Jesus Christ on earth. It's not just one man, not a pope. It's each and every one of us has a responsibility to live this Christian life in front of other people. Now, we know God looks on the heart and doesn't judge us by our appearance, but he sees us as he wants us to be, as he sees us in the future when we are perfected. He looks upon us, and what does he see? He sees the blood of Jesus covering our sins, and he sees us what we will be, not necessarily what we really are right now. For it is by faith that we walk. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Here's one that everybody forgets. That's us, and maybe the Jews. Remember the Sabbath day. It says observe here, but I prefer the word remember. To keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now, one thing I understood about this commandment from a very early age is that you don't work on Saturday. That's all I knew. I learned a long time ago that the Sabbath was a different day from Sunday. Sunday was the day I went to church. Sunday was the day we did this, but it was not the Sabbath day. Never was a Sabbath day. Never will be the Sabbath day. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And you know, over these years, just knowing that the commandment says you shall not work on the Sabbath day, I never have. Every job I've had, I've never had to work on Saturday. And the Lord honored that for many years, but he says, you got to do better than that. So I said, what do I do? So he led me to two books. They were called Bible Studies for the Home. And that's what the name of the two books were, because I had two copies. So if I forgot one, I had another one. And for years and years and years and years, even when I was in the Pentecostal Church, United Church, Salvation Army, I had those books with me. For somehow, some way, they came into my possession. And I said, they were very, very well organized. You know, the Bible studies and the Bible studies for the home are so organized. I said, I couldn't throw these books out. I kept them. I said, some weird stuff in here, like the 1,000 years where there's nobody on earth. That, I don't believe it. Or the stuff like, you live after you die, you go straight to heaven, you become an angel, all that stuff. I didn't see that in my Bible. And that preached that there was all kinds of things that I didn't believe in, but I held onto the books anyway. The Sabbath is important because I love him. He loves me. And he said, remember. So why does everybody forget? And just do whatever they please. It says, keep it holy. And we've been through that. Here's what you won't do. Now, infer you shall and you shall not in some of these, because it says honor your father and mother. So that means you shall honor your father and mother. And that's what my parents used to use against me. He says, well, you're not honoring God by going to that church. You're not honoring your parents. And that was the Pentecostal church, by the way, when I became a Christian. And I prayed, dear Lord, if this is wrong, and then you lead me to where I'm supposed to be. You know, if this is wrong, I don't want to be persecuted, and I don't want to be persecuted especially if I'm wrong. Now, if I'm right, I'll have to bear with it. It'll be okay. It's a blessing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. But if I'm wrong about this, move me along. And he's moved me along for many years, from here to here and here. Honor your father and your mother. Here's what you shall not do. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You know, yesterday I caught a young man stealing from Amazon, and it was a couple of condoms. And you know what I'm talking about. What will a man sell his soul for? What will a man? Two condoms. You know, he wasn't just stealing from Amazon. He was selling his soul for the sake of those silly things. You know, what do you sell your soul for today? Thou shalt not steal. And it's easy not to steal. It doesn't belong to me. Leave it alone. If you find it, then turn it in. It's lost and found. See if somebody will come and claim it. If it's not yours, you shouldn't have it in your possession. Not mine. I love God too much. Why would I want to steal? You know? Murder, that's easy. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want anybody killing me. Committing adultery, well, sometimes that one can be hard not to do. Because when you're not available, you're not available. If you're married, that's it. But if you're on your own and you're married, it's sometimes a little bit hard. I know what I'm talking about. But when you make a commitment to God and you love him with all your heart and all your soul and your strength, you honor your commitments, you honor your covenants, you honor your word. And they said in the last days, it might be better that people not marry, and people that are married behave as if they're not. That doesn't mean being bad. That means just concentrating on the coming of the Lord, on the things of God, and working together as a family, as a marriage, to bring people to Christ. It's more important to do the Father's business than it is to do your own will anyway. Because when I do my own will, I get in trouble. Oh, yeah. All by myself. What do I eat, sleep, work? What do I eat? Anything I want. Didn't anybody say, no, you can't eat that. No, you shouldn't eat that. That's too much. So am I human or am I not? Do I make mistakes still? Am I perfect on commandment keeping? No. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means we can't keep the commandments? Is that what that means? No, that's a devil's lie. You can keep the commandments by faith. The same way you were saved was by faith. Everything that we get from God is by grace through faith. And every time you slip, you get up again. And you walk on. And you walk on. And are you going to live perfect to the end of your life? Hopefully, but not necessarily. Does that mean once saved, always saved? No. It means if you're committed to God, you'll get up again and keep walking. And don't back up. Don't give up. Never, never quit. Oh, here's a good one. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? Everybody. You shouldn't lie. And we got people running for president that lie. And I'm not mentioning any names. If you have somebody in your mind, well, that's fine. And we have people that do dishonest things. But if you love God, why would you cheat your neighbor? Why would you lie? Why would you slander them? Why would you gossip? Oh, does anybody gossip? That's a hard one, because you know what that is? That's bearing false witness against your neighbor. Gossip is not good. And you say, well, it's not hurting anybody. Yes, it is. It's hurting you. You shouldn't be spreading it. You know? If you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't do it anyway. And if you love God with all your heart, you won't do it anyway. See, the Ten Commandments are a prophecy of your behavior. It is not by keeping the commandments that you are saved. It's by keeping the commandments you show the world your testimony that you are saved. Because saved people act different from unsaved. And if you're acting like an unsaved person you probably are. Whether you think I bowed at an altar at Vacation Bible School 100 years ago or not. If you're not at close accounts with God today, you need to update your experience today. For today is the day of salvation. Whatever's in the past is in the past. You have today to change your way. And how do we know how to live this Christian life? Well, we've been given a great big instruction book, and all the epistles and all the gospels show you exactly how Jesus lived it in front of us and how he expected us to do as he did. He didn't just say, well, you're going to do the same things I do as far as miracles is concerned, but if you're really his, you're going to live his life, for you're going to let him live in you. When Jesus comes into your heart, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when he becomes and brings the Father with him and dwells in your heart, it changes you. It transforms you. It begins to cut out this and cut out that and weed out this and chop off this. He says, if your hand offend you, chop it off. You know what he meant? As he leads, change your ways according to what he tells you to do, according to his word. So then you say, Lord, the first thing you do when you become a Christian is to say, Lord, now what do you want me to do? That's the right attitude. Lord, what would you have me to do? And the first thing for a lot of people is to get baptized. Amen. You know, he doesn't say, clean yourself up and then come to church. He says, come to church and I'll clean you up. And my people will help me. Or do we hinder them? Do we criticize them? Do they look a little different? Do they dress a little different? Do they smell a little different? Oh, love them to the altar. Love them. He says, love one another as I have loved you. If you love me, keep my commandments. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't let anybody tell you that you cannot keep the Ten Commandments. You can, you can, you can. By the indwelling Christ, if you will allow him to transform you, he will do it. But he is gentle. He is a gentle man. You know, some people, they get this violent shaking and something happens to them and they say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit seized me. The Holy Spirit seizes nobody. It's that other spirit. When I first came to the Lord and became a Christian, what I saw in that church was like, a battlefield. Do you ever see these movies where there are swords and people are dying here and they're screaming there and there's blood and people rolling around on the ground, twitching and all that? That's what I saw the first night I went into a church, Pentecostal church. Went to the prayer room, gave my heart to the Lord. He preached about Revelation. He said, if you're not ready, you're going to miss the rapture. Well, that was enough for me because I don't want to miss it. And I went down to that altar. Sometimes he'll send you to a church that you wouldn't think anybody would want to go to because there's a message there that's going to get you to come to him. And he will use this person and that person and that church and that other thing. And you might start off in a weird place, but it's drawing you to this day, this time, this message right now. Jesus is going to go after you like that lost sheep we had in our lesson. He's going to come after you. And if your heart is open, if you will yield to what he has for you today, he will lead you to more. But he will leave you behind if you stop somewhere along the way. But he'll come back for you because he went after that lost sheep. And he'll keep bugging you until you... Now, the only unforgivable sin you know is rejection of Christ. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And, you know, he won't give up on you, but you can turn him away. How many people did he ask? He asked the rich young ruler, give up all you have and come follow me. And the young man went away and Jesus sorrowed. He said, you know, Jesus was sorry, the young man sorrowed because he couldn't give up his riches. And Jesus loved that young man, wanted him. Judas gave him up for a couple of condoms, 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. What is your soul worth? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Ten Commandments are essential. They're going to identify who's his and who isn't his. If you don't love his commandments with all your heart and all your soul and your strength, just like you love him with all your heart and your soul, see, he gives you a love for the commandments, not an aversion for them, not a way, how do I get around this one or how do I get around that one? How can I get saved by how close to the edge can I drive? As far away from the edge as possible. That's how you drive. Don't play with the devil. He is not a playful person. He is deadly. Don't mess with the world. The Ten Commandments show you how you should behave. Work at it. Are you working for your salvation? No, you're working for your sanctification, your own benefit, because the closer you walk with God, you know, the easier it is to live the Christian life. Now, does that mean everything works hunky-dory for you and nobody bothers you and nobody persecutes you and you don't get sick? Uh-uh. Uh-uh. But you have a better end, because your end is going to be your beginning. For the world, their end is it. You know, born once, twice, die once, live forever. Born once, die twice, the other way. Because the second death is the one you want to avoid. Everybody may die. Most of us may die. Jesus may, he may put off his coming for a little bit longer. And sometimes, remember that song, wait a little longer, please, Jesus, a few more days so we can get our loved ones in. Well, I'm not praying that no more. I've tried with all my heart and soul and strength to reach my family, to reach my friends, and I'll do it to the day I drop. But if they don't want to come, I'm going to leave them. You come. We're going to start crying very shortly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Because it's not getting better, folks. You know, it's not getting better out there. We may not recognize this America after November. And I love this country. And I came here deliberately. I was born in the United States and lived a lot of my life in Canada, but I love this USA that I'm a citizen of. But it's going to go away. Everything that you see is going to burn up. And it's only what's done for Christ that will last. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkeys, or anything that is your neighbor's. It just will happen that way. You will not, because godliness with contentment is great gain. What do I need somebody else's mess for? The more that you got, the more you're responsible for, the more people will want to steal from you, the more people will lie and cheat and bother you and fuss over you. I'd rather just live for Jesus, because I love him. You know, the reason I love going to church, and it's been the same reason over the years, is because I don't know but what a miracle might happen today. I don't know, but maybe I might help somebody. They might come to Christ, and they may change into what he wants them to be. Somebody may be sick here today, and God may touch them and heal them. I don't know, but if I don't come expecting, believing, you know, I believe in miracles. I believe in salvation. I believe people still get saved, still get healed. Everything that we're promised in this book is true. He's alive. Jesus is alive. If I didn't believe Jesus was alive, I wouldn't be half as excited or even a quarter of as excited as I am today, because I know he's real. And I know these commandments are here for a purpose. And I know his teachings, if we listen to them. And even Mrs. White, give her a chance. She'll help you with some of this. If you can't, you know, she's made her books so that we can look at it through the eyes of inspiration. And she also gives us advice and how to do these things. And I just love her. You know, I spent a lot of my early time when I first came to this message trying to prove her wrong. And here I am. She does that to you. But I love the Word of God with all my heart. And I love God with all my heart. And I love Jesus with all my heart. And if you love Jesus, why don't you give him your heart? And begin to have some hope that you can keep these commandments. You must keep them in front of this world. They've got to see a shining example of how a Christian should live. And it might as well be you giving it. You know, if you're looking around for someone to treat you like a Christian should treat you, you'll be waiting a long time. So why don't you just start acting like one, being one, and not worry about who, you know, poor little me, nobody's paying any attention to me. You just start paying attention to some others and loving them and caring for them, and your happiness will be taken care of. Sometimes I've been lonely. Sometimes I've been down. Sometimes I felt low. And I needed somebody to come and cheer me up, and I don't bother waiting for it to happen. So what I do is I find somebody more miserable than myself, try to cheer them up, and by the time I'm done with them, I'm feeling fine. That works. If you want somebody to treat you right, you be the friend first. You know, you want help, help others. Whatever you've got, be willing to give it. I remember one time I asked the Lord about that. I says, Lord, you know, if I've got my paycheck in my pocket and I've got a pocket full of money and somebody comes and asks me for that, I'm supposed to give it to him? He said, yes, but don't be a fool. Only carry as much in your pocket as you can afford to give out. Put the rest of it in the bank. He expects us to be wise stewards with what he gives us, folks. So let's look at these commandments in a different way. If you've never looked at them as something, it's God's love letter to us, this whole book. But those commandments show us how much he loves us. He's jealous of anybody else or anything else getting in the way of his love for us and our love for him. And you know how we show we love him? Because we do his commandments, and we love other people, and we help out, and we be a friend to those in need. So today, let's be Christians, and let's love our commandments like we've never loved them before. Shall we pray? Father, I know this country's gone right straight to H in a hell in a handbasket, and it's getting worse, but we need to be the best that we can be. This is a time to turn the lamps up and get them shine and put them on the hill where they can be seen. Father, we want to be, in spite of our weaknesses and failings, your representatives on earth. We are the light of the world. And if we don't shine this light, nobody will come. If we don't get out there doing what we should do, then they won't see and they won't hear. It's not somebody else's responsibility, it's mine. And Lord, equip us. You know, we have a wonderful Sabbath school. We have those lessons that we learn, but do we put them into practice? Father, help us to be doers as well as hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.